الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم. يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعزمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحمي. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها 4 حرم ذلك الدين القيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We've got about 3 subjects, very important all 3, to discuss. And our time is very limited. So inshallah, just more or less, the main points we'll discuss, and all these bayans are on record. For those who wish to go into the details, we can listen to the record, and inshallah, there will be only benefit. The 3 bayans are, one is, Qurbani has just passed, and a wise person always gives a hind look, looks back again. That how did my Qurbani go? So that our next Qurbani, inshallah, we can improve and make a better Qurbani. The other is month of Muharram is year now, and it's a new year, so we have to discuss on that. And the third is the present condition of the Muslims, especially the Palestinians. What is our contribution? What is our share with regard to that? So with regard to that, first, with regard to the Qurbani, like in our normal lives, occasions come perhaps once at our time. We make renovations in the house, we build a house. It's one time, it's not going to every year we're going to build a house. Every year we're going to make renovations. But like in the Darul Uloom, we have the annual Jalsa of the Madrasa, it's an annual affair. We have our Islahi Jalsa, it's an annual affair, many other things also. So all that, there are 3 aspects. One is a person prepares properly. As to the best of his ability, we prepare for the occasion. And we look at all possibilities, like for example, there may be load shedding, so make sure there are generators. There may be water shortage, make sure we have a supply of water, whatever. As much as we can think, we try and prepare. And we can't estimate the crowd, how many people are going to come, how many people must we prepare. So these are all challenges that are there. And then when the actual Jalsa takes place, then we keep our eyes open. And after the Jalsa, then there are all different types of responses. Some people will praise. If a person who goes by the praises will destroy himself. And if we look at the criticism, that person will benefit. That what are the faults the people have found? Or we ourselves, what did we see that we went wrong? So a wise person will always look back again. so that we can improve the next time. So with regard to Qurbani, which is also an annual issue, we made Qurbani, alhamdulillah, Allah accept. Many people have made Qurbani, perhaps all have made Qurbani, and it's a wonderful occasion. So we prepared for Qurbani also. Where are we going to slaughter? How are we going to slaughter, etc.? Many things we had done. Perhaps we saw some of our shortcomings in the Qurbani also. And perhaps in the family, in the town, people might have praised us also. You people made so many Qurbanis, etc. You did it at home. You took part yourself. But we ourselves, we should not go by anyone's praises. But look at, if somebody pointed out any mistake to us, and that is the purpose of this talk, to see where we went wrong, to try and see that. And then for the future, one is to make tawbah istighfar, and in the future to correct it. Then we will improve as we go along. As the age that we are in, hopefully it is everything in Allah's hands. Maut, nobody knows when maut is going to come to a person. But perhaps we will have the opportunity of another 10 qurbanis, 15, 20 qurbanis. And if we improve all the time, you can well imagine by the time we come to the 20th qurbani, what a perfect, inshallah, close to perfect qurbani we can make and gain maximum benefit. But if we don't check back and we just carry on and we are just happy, and people who praise us that, mashallah, you people slaughtered 20 animals, you slaughtered 50 animals, you slaughtered a bull also, and then we won't progress. A person who lives in a dream world, and that is the world of the praises of people, that person destroys himself. And a person who lives in a world of reality, that what actually is the condition, that person benefits and that person goes ahead in life. So the Qurbani, as far as this dunya life is concerned, the Sahaba asked, Ma hadhihi al-adhahi ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the sunnat? What is this Qurbani all about? Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnat of your forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Bismillah. So Qurbani is really reliving practically, physically, the Qurbani of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If Allah wished to, Allah could have made our Qurbani like that of the system of the non-believers. What is this? Normally, they have some museum somewhere, or they have some statue somewhere. So it could be in Mina, the statue of Ibrahim alayhi salam made, and the ram or his son Ismail alayhi salam, and he's like to slaughter it, and it will be that we go there and we pay homage. We look at it and we say, oh, this is the slaughter. But Allah didn't do that. Allah showed us, and from here let us also learn a lesson. Our whole deen, our whole life is what is the true values, that you yourself going to live out Qurbani. That Qurbani every year, all will slaughter themselves. And Allah made it. Qurbani was actually of Ibrahim alayhi salam in Mina, in the middle of the world, more or less. But Allah spread it in the whole world. All must make Qurbani. So much so that if a woman can, she must slaughter herself. If she can't, she should be present there. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, who farda was to what a level. And she was a example of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. And she was Siddiqa, bint Siddiq. What was her position? And she advanced once when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, asked what is the best thing for a woman, which no sahaba could answer, she gave the answer. That she does not look at any man and no man looks at her. But when her qurbani was being made in her courtyard, which is closed, and no outside people can see. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made the qurbani. He told Fatima, come out and see, witness your qurbani. So imagine a woman who did not come out of her house, in her own courtyard even. But for her qurbani, come and show. What is the value of this qurbani? That even Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was request that by Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, you come and see your qurbani. So woman will also make, and where woman can slaughter with the limits, in the limits of Sharia. Very important, this whole talk is that in the qurbani where we are going out of the limits of Sharia. Everything done in the limits of Sharia. What a Mubarak thing it is. So, woman will be involved. Qurbani is not only for the rich. Allah made the system, give a share to the poor also. So the poor also are involved. Qurbani is not only for Muslims. It's a masala, established masala, that Qurbani can be given to the non-Muslims. And in many, many cases, when we make Qurbani, we have people helping us. Many cases they are non-Muslims. The rule is the Qurbani meat as pay, you can't give them. Not the skin, nothing. You must give them the Qurbani meat as a gift. So Allah involved the non-Muslims also. So the whole world is alive with Qurbani. And Allah's ajeeb system. When a female dog gives birth, how many puppies she gives birth to at a time?
6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
plenty. And nobody eats dogs in the world. So logically, the world should be flooded with dogs. And a goat, sheep, when they give birth, how many do they give birth at a time? 1, 2. Right? And Qurbani time, can we place any millions of animals that were slaughtered in Mina, that were slaughtered in the world, India, Pakistan, Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, wherever in the world, how many Qurbani animals were slaughtered? Anyone heard there's a shortage this year of Qurbani animals? Logically, it should be that there's a shortage. Prices are going to skyrocket because there's a shortage. But nowhere there's a shortage. This is the Qudrat. By that also, recognize the Qudrat of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. So Qurbani, Allah made it a living thing. That we all practically, physically, we are part of Qurbani. In the same way Allah Ta'ala made Mi'raj of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, also not like a statue or something that we see somewhere that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam is ascending, going up to the heavens, and we go and pay homage there somewhere in Makkah to the statue, na'udhu billah. But Allah made it every namaz, every second, every fourth rakat of yours, every second, every third rakat of a 3 rakat namaz. Allah made it, we live that mi'raj alive. And if we live it alive, we will enjoy our namazes. Then our namaz won't be just like a exercise. It won't be just like a duty. It will be, you are living that. So when we read At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi Was-Salawatu Wa-Tayyibat, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was singing the praises of Allah Ta'ala in every and every aspect. Every aspect, as he was going to meet Allah Ta'ala, Allah became so pleased. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam offered 3 great praises. At-Tahiyyatu Lillahi Was-Salawatu Wa-Tayyibat. Allah Ta'ala conferred 3 great gifts on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was an embodiment of abdiyat, humility, an embodiment of true akhlaq and character. He didn't take all that for himself. Immediately, as-salamu alayna. Not only on me, but on all of us. And on not only as-salam, he only used the first word, as-salamu alayna, but even wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All that alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And in our deen, there are so many actions we can do by which we can become ibadi salihin. And we all become, we fit in that dua of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So there are many, many things that we do, and you are regarded from ibadi salihin. This was such an occasion that all the malaika were astounded, were taken aback, went in the trance, They were shocked, and they all exclaimed the ultimate, the only, the final thing, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That final thing they all explained. So we also, Allah made it that every second, fourth rakat, every second, third rakat, we love that mi'raj. And we think, and then when we see that great position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no way but we are constrained. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. Don't forget Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is the father of the Anbiya. He is the Nabi that tawheed he had. Wa idibtala Ibrahim rabbuhu bi kalim. What a position. So remember Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Allahumma barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. Imagine our namazes are like that. Now we have realized, where is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam? And me, a sinner, total sinner. This year also I could not fulfill the right. So I got no way out. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Yeah, I'm a useless thing. I'm the worst of the worst. Where is Nabi Ibrahim Ali? Where is Namaz? Where is Mi'raj? And I'm the worst of worst. And then when we make that salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then there's only salamati. So Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq. So look back at our qurbani. Already 15 minutes are gone. How time goes, and so much we have to discuss. So look at our intention of our qurbani. So how many of us? 4,000 rand was too much, 5,000. And Hadith says, Tibu biha nafsa. Open your hearts and make qurbani. Don't look at monetary value. Don't look at so many rand. But look at the spirit of qurbani, to sacrifice your life. When we make qurbani, we say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbi. My everything, my living, my time, my namaz, my all actions of deen are all for Allah. And here I'm worried of 4,000 rand, 5,000 rand. And we should be opening our hearts and making the qurbani with an open heart. That is when we get the true value of the qurbani. So did I falter in that? So for next year, let me not look at the monetary issue. Let me look, according to my finances, I'll be constrained to make my qurbani according to what my finances are like. But let us open our heart. There are so many people who qurbani is not wajib on them, but that love for qurbani, they make sure they go and make the qurbani. So that should be our spirit of qurbani, that we should make the qurbani. And then we should look also, this qurbani here in this world, it was the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. In the akhirat, it will be our conveyance over pul sirat, which is a bridge literally thinner than a hair, sharper than a sword. Who can cross it? On your own, you cannot. And Allah says, وَإِمْ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًا. Each one will have to cross pul sirat. According to riwayat, 1,500 years journey. According to riwayat, 15,000 years journey. Who is going to pass? Allah made the system. Now it is our qurbani time. This will be our conveyance. Somebody have to go somewhere. They got no choice but to go by foot. They have to walk. They can't afford it. Some will go by bus, by taxi. Difficult ways of travel. Some will have to change transport from here to there. Others will go fly. They will go by economy class. Others will go by business class. Others will go by first class. And some airlines have a first class where you have a shower, your own private shower also. You have your own private, like your bedroom also. And so depending on how we made our qurbani, we will get that conveyance. Somebody will pass over, like in just a chutkari, just a flick of the fingers, and they will be over already 15,000. So this is the opportunity to make it now. This is our qurbani. From here learn also that all our amal we do is not only sawab, so many sawab, so many hair of the animal, so many sawabs, but that sawab, like a person is earning, for example, 2,000 rand, he's living in the squatters, he has to go walking to work early before sunrise in winter, he's walking to work, he can buy only the bare minimum for him, his family. Everything, he has to think a lot when he uses electricity, water, because he's earning so little. Now the same person starts earning 20,000. Now it's not only figures in his bank statement, by EFT his salary is transferred into his account. Not only by that, but now what is the thing? You see, automatically, he's no more traveling by bus and train. Now he's got his own car. You see, now he's no more living in the squatters. He's living in some residential area. Then he's now earning 20,000. Or he's earning 50,000. Now you see, he's going to the elite suburbs to live in. So like that, all our sawabs in Jannat is not only sawabs in our, so to say, bank statement of Akhirat. But there you're going to get all that enjoyment. And the enjoyment of Jannat, the mentions of Jannat, the beautiful Hurul Eid, the food and the fruit of Jannat, the splendor and the gardens of Jannat, and things which la aynun ra'at, no eye has ever seen the pleasures of Jannat. Wala udhunun sami'at, no ear has ever heard what the pleasure. Wala khatra ala qalbi bashar, nobody can even dream in his wildest dreams what that. So all that, this is the time to make it. And on the other hand, if we get involved in guna, we say, I'm in enjoyment now. I'm in a relationship with a woman, na'udhubillah, haram relationship. I'm getting fun and enjoyment. I'm earning haram money. And with that, I'm living it up, so to say. All this appears here, but this will translate there. It's not just in your bank statement, debit, so much debit balance, so much debit. But it will translate in the snakes of Jahannam. It will translate into the fire of Jahannam. It will translate into the smiting and the hitting of the malaika of that person. And the Quran explains all this. And the Quran explains, when we will see it, we will say that, oh Allah, I make tawbah. I have seen, I believe, send me back. I won't make these mistakes again. But that will be too late. This is our opportunity. So Allah give us tawfiq that we make our qurbani and in the proper way. The other aspect that we have to discuss is Muharram, which is coming. The first of Muharram will be Friday, Saturday. Friday, more or less, depending on the sighting of the moon. So by then, let us just see a few of the great, great aspects of the month of Muharram, which normally we are not aware of. May Allah let us appreciate, and this is great. So Muharram is the first month in the Islamic calendar and is the most sacred and blessed month from the four sacred months. Of the four sacred months, Rajab, which is separate, and then here Zulhijjah, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. Muharram of the four months is the most sacred month. And after the month of Ramadan, which is the most honorable, great month, may Allah let us all appreciate the month of Ramadan. Then is the month of Muharram, which is so great. Hazrat Hassan rahmatullah alayhi reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most virtuous month after the month of Ramadan is the month of Muharram. So this is the most virtuous month, and it's coming. Now let us take advantage of it as much as we can. The honor and sanctity of Muharram can also be gauged by the fact that in the Quran Majid, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath on the first morning of Muharram, where Allah says, Wal Fajri. Yeah, according to Mufassirin, Allah Ta'ala says, Wal Fajr, by the dawn, that is the Fajr time, the Fajr namaz. Imam Qatada Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that in this verse, the dawn on which Allah takes an oath is the dawn of the first morning of the month of Muharram. There are other views also, but this is a valuable view, that is the first month, the first of the Muharram, which is the beginning of Muharram, as it is not only the dawn of this morning, but is the dawn of the entire year which is to follow. Therefore, It is so valuable that it is taking an oath of the whole year which is coming now. So, and Wal Fajr, Wal Asr, and many other places where Allah has taken qasam of time, time is very, very valuable. And in time, there are those times which are even more valuable. The time of Fajr, the time of Asr, etc. Very valuable, very valuable time. May Allah let us appreciate and make good of this. Not just that we talk about it, we hear about it, but actually it comes into our lives. So it is a very important. It is reported in the hadith that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum would learn the following dua and recite it at the beginning of a new Islamic month. And also the new Islamic year. Many of us think ourselves that every month when we have to see the moon, unfortunately our lifestyle has changed so much that who of us goes out to look for the moon? Whether I ask myself also, the 29th, it's an injunction, encourage that go out and look for the moon. Even though the moon is only 3 hours, but on the 29th, it is that we should go out and look. Who of us goes out? And on the 30th, we take it for granted. The moon has been sighted. And today, we'll check our phone. Previously, we would hear the radio, announcement on the radio. Now, we'll check our phone. A message has come, the moon has been sighted. But that's not the sunnah. To check the phone, whether the moon has been sighted, is not a sunnah. So how many of us are deprived of the sunnah? We should go out and just look and fulfill that sunnah. And when we see the moon, whether it is when the 29th or we saw the moon or the 30th, or now the 1st or the 2nd, now we see the moon, then we should read that dua. Allahumma ahillahu alina bil imani wal islami. The full dua we should try and read. There are various versions of that dua, any version that we should try and read that dua. And for the month of Muharram, it isn't only the 1st of the month, but the 1st of the year. So for the whole year, make that dua. That dua that we make when we cite the new moon, we make it for that month. But here for Muharram's month, make it for the whole year. The whole year, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, give us all these great, great virtues. So, all this is, may Allah give me tawfiq, give us all tawfiq to make amal. And where we falter, to make tawbah and istighfar. And to correct ourselves and to determination to improve ourselves. Muharram is the month of Allah Ta'ala. From the month in the Islamic calendar, the month of Muharram is exclusively referred to in the Mubarak Ahadith as the month of Allah Ta'ala. So that alone shows the virtues of this great month. So it's coming. Let us be ready for it. Let it not be just that it came and went and we don't even know. How many people there are, Ramzan comes and goes, and we are not aware of it. How many of us, we are aware, but we don't take advantage of Ramadan. The month of Zulhijjah, the month of Muharram, great, great occasion that we take the value of it. So Allah makes it that we take the advantage of this great month. On one occasion, Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which portion of the night is best and which month is the most virtuous? And which portion of the night is the best? That means for ibadat. And which month is the best in the year? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the best portion of the night is the middle portion. Normally in our mind is the last portion, and that is very, very, very virtuous. But in the first portion of the night, many people are in ghaflat, unmindfulness. In our times, people are busy with their cell phones, with all other things, kapshap, talking, all having tea, etc. And spending the first third of the night all in talking. And those who get up for tahajjud, usually the last part of the night. So there are people. But the middle part is the part where most people are sleeping. They are in ghaflat in that part. So that part when in which there is ghaflat, unmindfulness from people, a person who is up in that time and making Allah's ibadat, how fortunate is he not? So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam here referred to the middle part of the night. And then he said, and the most virtuous month after Ramadan is the month of Allah Ta'ala, which is the month of Muharram. So this is the most auspicious month after the month of Ramadan. The Muhaddithin explained that Muharram is attributed to Allah to show the greatness of this month as well as the immense virtues that it contains. So this month is coming in a week's time. Let us be prepared for it. We know that if there's a wedding in the house, we all prepare. There's some other function, we prepare and we look forward to it. And we go out of our way. If I'm getting married myself, how much I prepare for my wedding. For everything, I'm moving house, going to another smart house in an elite suburb, the upper, the super suburbs of the town. Then how much don't we prepare? This month of Muharram is coming. So let us get mentally prepared, physically prepared, every way that we can take the advantage. And who of us know whether we will get this Muharram also? Mm-hmm. And if we do get it, whether we'll get the next Muharram. Mm-hmm. And how many Muharrams? So let us make the best of it now that we have got the opportunity. The pre-Islamic name of Muharram, Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Ali, has explained that the month of Muharram was referred to as Safarul Awwal in the era of Jahiliyyah. In the days of ignorance, Muharram's name was Safarul Awwal. But then, after the advent of Islam, Allah changed the name of this month from Safarul Awwal to Muharram. Allah changed the name. So we can imagine would have a special connection. Why did Allah Ta'ala change it? While the other months of the Islamic calendar continue to be called by the original names from the period of Jahiliyyah. But this month the name was changed and it was called Muharram. It is for this reason that this month is referred to as the month of Allah Ta'ala. Our Shaykh, Hadhrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimullah's son, Maulana Mazhar Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, he explains very beautifully. He says that our year starts in Muharram. And Muharram, respect, honor, it is made from the word respect, honor. Also it is made from the word haram, that all things which are harmful for us are made haram. And all things which are good for us, nothing in our Shariat has been made haram which was good, but as a punishment Allah made it haram. In our Shariat, that was for Bani Israel. In our Shariat, only what is harmful for us, that has been made haram. And what is good for us, that has been made for us. The greatest good is La ilaha illallah. So that is the greatest for us. The oneness of Allah, the Tawheed, that is the greatest for us. And from there, all the other things, how much more important, so much higher is its status. So that Allah Ta'ala has made it. So the year starts with the month of Muharram. And as it progresses, then it comes to the end of the year, Ramadan comes. Allahu Akbar, Rajab comes, Shaban comes, then Ramadan comes, then Shawwal, Dhul-Qa'dah, then Hajj comes. Allahu Akbar. When it culminates with the Hajj and the people gathering on the plains of Arafat, the people going to Muzdalifah, to Arafah, to Mina, to all this wonderful occasion, that is how it is. And the Kuffar, their year starts with January. We pronounce it January. And in the subcontinent, they pronounce it January. So it's from January, animalism. So the year starts with animalism. All the qualities of animals they have. And as it progresses at the end of the year, what is the end of the year? All types of parties, where there is boozing, where there is wine, drink, woman, liquor, all the haram things take place. So the starting is so evil, the end is there, is that we are fortunate. Our year starts with Muharram and it ends with Zulhijjah, by the house of Allah. And that is for everyone. The Haji who goes there, physically he's there. And the Haji who doesn't go there, his soul is there. And he's thinking of the Hajj, he's thinking of Medina Sharif. And his heart is at that time there. And everyone is happy, it's Hajj. And labbaik, Allahumma labbaik is on everyone's tongue. And labbaik, wa sa'adaik, that, oh Allah, I'm present, you call me, and it's my honor to be present here by you. So this is the great virtues. And the virtues of the month of Muharram, which is so virtuous, but the first 10 days are even more virtuous. In regard to the month of Muharram, it should be noted that the first 10 days of Muharram have more virtue than the rest of the month. And here we must be very careful, Shaitan, our arch enemy, how he has destroyed us. In how many countries in the world, the first 10 days of Muharram are used to make what are called tajiyas. And that is, they build up some like a cart and decorate it with lights and all, how much of money is spent. And they parade it in the whole town. And in the commemoration of Imam Hassan, which there is absolutely no basis of it in Sharia. And finally, just imagine when the Quran over and over explains, when you go into wrong, you become baligh, stupid. Your mind works, it doesn't work. It works upside down completely. Then finally, they drive that into the sea. All that great expenses they made, and it just destroyed, it pushed into the sea. Now, how lot of, what stupidity. Other places, 15th of Shaban also, even this month of Muharram, people share firecrackers. And like the Hindus, they in their Diwali, they burn firecrackers, they say to wake up the gods. And now if the people have to wake up the god, God is there to wake you up and to keep you living and that. But now you have to wake up your gods. So that is how stupid we become. So this Muharram also, where there are so great values, but Shaitan got so many Muslims in the name of deen to get involved in haram. Like nowadays, that haram, this bid'at or uras, etc., the stajias which they make, all the haram things, firecrackers, etc. And today's haram is modernism, where man and woman mix, photography halal, interfaith meetings, etc., worshipping in the church, inviting non-Muslims to come to our masjid and pollute our masjid, all these things. So this is what we must be careful, that Shaitan, the ideal occasions of great ibadah, he changes them into the worst occasion of worst sins. And kullu muhdathin bid'ah, wa kullu bid'atin dalala, wa kullu dalalatin finnar. All this is in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. So let us be very careful. In regard to the month of Muharram, it should be noted that the first 10 days of Muharram have more virtue than the rest of the month. Just as the first 10 days of Zulhijjah have more virtue than the rest of the month of Zulhijjah. And just as the last 10 days of Ramadan have more virtue than the rest of the month of Ramadan. And with regard to that, Hazrat Abu Usman Nahdi, Rahimullah, mentioned that there were 10 days of 3 months that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would show great honor and respect to by exerting themselves in ibadat in these periods. 3 months have got 10 days in them, which we must also look forward to. And as much as we can, the first thing is to avoid guna, to stay away from all haram in our aqaid, in our amal. And then how much good we can do, and good is so easy. Make your Isha with Jamaat, Fajr with Jamaat. Read your Alif Lam Mim Sajda Tabarakalladhi between Maghrib and Isha. Whole night's ibadah. Read your Wa Inna Fi Khalqis Samawati Wal Ard 2 minute ruku. And you get sawab of making the whole night ibadah. Few simple things we do, just do that and you get all these great virtues. So there are 3 periods which the Sahaba used to observe, and which we also should observe. Which were the last 10 days of Ramadan. It is noted that the most blessed nights of the year are the last 10 days, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Together with that, the 10 days also, in which comes the odd nights, in which comes Laylatul Qadr, in which comes Laylatul Jaiza, in which comes the night of Eid, all this great, great. So the last day and night of Ramadan, we should take particular note. And just as it comes in the hadith, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on such occasion, a person who stays awake himself and keeps his family also awake, encourages them also. And whatever everyone can do, little bit or more, how much we can do, but let us do. Main thing first, to stay away from all haram. Second, the faraiz, we observe them properly. And then as much as we can in the nawafil, how much it is possible. And Allah has made it very easy. Little bit also bears lot of fruit by Allah Ta'ala. So the first, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, the first 8 days, Allah says that the most ibadat I love of mine is in the first 10 days of Muharram, Zulhijjah, referring to really the first 9 days. And the 8 days is in which to read the third kalima, the Baqiyatu Salihat. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. How valuable it is. And who gets tawfiq to make salatu tasbih? What to say about that person? And then the ninth, to read the fourth kalima. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd, biyadihi al-khayr, wa hu ala kulli shayin qadir. If you want to add yuhyi wa yumeet, we may add, otherwise, without yuhyi wa yumeet, on the ninth. And then the 3 days after that, qurbani. The most loving amal Allah loves during those days is to make the blood flow, the qurbani animal to slaughter. So that Allah loves. So it was the last, the Muharram's 10 days, and the days of of Ramadan. And the 10 days of Zulhijjah, and then the 10 days of Muharram. So the pious of the past, they observe these 3 periods very greatly. The 10 days of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, and the days, the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, and now Muharram coming, the first 10 days. And these are very, and one very important aspect of this is that we don't have tashabbuh bil kuffar. Very important. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us this lesson of the rozas of the 9th and 10th, or 10th and 11th. The Jews used to keep roza on the 10th. And that was that because Nabi alayhi salatu, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel kept that Allah delivered them from the tortures of the Bani Israel, of Fir'aun and his people. We should also make lot dua that Allah delivers the Palestinians from all the tortures which they are going through at the hands of the Jews presently. And wherever in the world Muslims are in difficulty, whether it is in Sudan, whether it is in Kashmir, whether it is in Arakan, whether it is in Yuga, Chinese Muslims, wherever in the world they are in difficulty, Allah take them out of this difficulty and the tortures which they are going through. And always, whoever is in difficulty, we should think, why is this happening to me? Where have I gone wrong that this is happening to me? And we should make tawbah from our gunas. And we should beg Allah for His, not only blame other people, that these people are making zulam on us, but why have they chosen us? Why in the decree of Allah are we going through this difficulty? Tawbah, istighfar, shukr to Allah, a ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala takes a person out of difficulty, sadaqah, durood sharif. These are things that we should resort to. So this 10 days, we should prepare for it very, very thoroughly. And then with regard to the third issue is with regard to the condition of the Muslims in the world presently. So all these difficult conditions which we are going through, and it should hurt everyone. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam declared that the whole Muslim body is one body. The whole ummah is one body. If any one part of the body suffers some pain, it has an effect on the whole body. So the Muslims, wherever they are, whatever difficulties they are going through, we should feel the pain. And that should manifest itself in du'as. Each one should think for ourselves, what du'a am I making for the condition of the Palestinians and for the condition of the Muslims anywhere in the world, wherever they are in difficulty, how much du'as am I making? And also my religious condition. Every person, how much our deen is in order, it has an effect on the whole ummah. And how much our deen is not in order, it negatively impacts on the whole ummah also. In the whole home also, the mother, the father, any person who is deen, the whole, because of the barakat of that one person, the whole ummah, the whole family, the whole town, the whole ummah, the whole of mankind gets the benefit. And if one person goes out of line, the effect of it is not only on him, it comes on the family also, on the community also, on the whole. So we must improve. Du'as we must make. Improve our deeni condition. Obey the commands of Allah. Make tawbah, istighfar. Stay away from all guna. This is going to benefit us. It's going to benefit our family, our town people, the whole world, even non-Muslims, even animals, even the plants, etc. How much we read in the hadith that those two boys weighed their treasure under in the foundation of a wall, and wakana abuhuma saliha, and their father, and the Allama al-Alusi writes, ten generations above, he was pious. So 10 generations later, how many years? 300 years. Because of his piety, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, when I worry of my children, their future, I increase my ibadat. Because of the barakat of the ibadat of the parents, the children will have a wonderful life. We think upside down. That give the children university education, give them a shop, give them a business. No, we must become pious. Our children will get the fruit of it. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Mm-hmm. So we should be concerned and correct our condition. Then very, very important to boycott totally the ways of the non-Muslims. And which we read in the Quran Sharif that اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, show us the straight path, the path of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the details that go with that. And غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِّينَ, not the ways of the Jews and the Christians, not the ways of the people who have gone astray. But today our thinking is according to Western thinking. Dunya's ways of thinking, our homes, our education, our lifestyle, our holidays, our everything is like the kuffar. It should be all according to Islam and properly according to the Sunnah, not modern Islam. Not Islam what we make of our in our mind, but the Islam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So that is very important. And then to boycott their products also. There are so many of us that we just can't stay without Pepsi and Coke. That is our life. And we can't stay without it. But we should think that every drop of Pepsi and Coke I drink, I'm spilling the blood of the Palestinians. I'm helping in the torture and the terrible conditions which they are going, I'm contributing. Because that very money goes there to help them and to do that. And yeah, and all other things of theirs, as far as possible, to boycott their ways of life and to boycott their products also. And then finally, to make people aware of all this also. That is very important. Today we are not aware of it ourselves. The more we'll talk about it, the more people will become aware. So make people aware of this and take part in initiatives where people are being made aware of what the condition of the Palestinian or any Muslims in the world, what they are suffering. So let us be part of the ummah. Let it not be that we are not part of the ummah. If we don't feel any pain, any difficulty, any we're not feeling our life is not changing. And we are still just enjoying our life, carrying on, no change in our life. A very sad reflection. If one member of the family is ill and the rest of the family don't, it doesn't mean anything to them. That means they've got nothing to do with that member of the family. If we got feeling, we all will contribute, we all will share, and we all will feel the pain. So the ummah is one ummah. And to realize that our main relationship is not a blood relationship, not according to our pedigree, our family, or our friends, or our loyalties, that this was our school, we all schooled together, we all went to madrasa together, we all lived together in this town. No, our main thing is the deen of Allah. And that is our, whether then the person is a black person or a white person, whether he's a learned person or he's a not a learned person, everything is on the matters of deen. That is the most important. Family ties also come after that. Unity and peace also comes after that. First it is to see on the matters of deen, who are obedient to Allah. May Allah bless us. Look at our qurbani, what mistakes we have made, what we can improve and make our qurbanis better. May Allah let us appreciate the 10 days of Muharram and this free 10-day period of Ramadan also, Zulhijjah also, Muharram, and all, every moment is valuable. Throughout our lives are very short and they are very valuable. And then let us have feeling for the ummah at large and do what we can as far as for the goodness of the ummah, and everyone can contribute. And everyone must contribute. At least correct ourselves. Obey the commands of Allah. Make dua. Boycott the way of life. Boycott their things, etc. And then make people aware of it. We will become aware if we will speak to others. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.